This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So, you know, we're all locked in there, and it's me, it's Malcolm Gladwell, it's Bill Simmons, yeah. And we're having a bad opinion contest, and we're feeding our bad opinions into the machine,
yeah.
And just the more general and the less evidence there is, you know, the better you do in the contest. So, an example might be... let me just think of anything. So maybe you watch like a trailer for a TV show that was on a couple years ago, and then you try to convince people that now you understand how like sailing works.
Right.
Like better than anyone.
The people that the people that watch the movie Master and Commander are better qualified to be a ship captain than somebody that went to school for it.
Exactly.
The school guy is relying on all these like
outdated, sort of calcified
and it's so stuck in
ideas.
Their
you know, unfortunately, these. You know, captain school people are actually barnacles on the side of the sailing industry.
Uh-huh.
And that people who watch Master and Commander are bringing raw instinct, which makes up so much of it.
Yeah.
And we've got, obviously, music opinions as well.
Sure.
Our taste is so far off that the machine is starting to shoot smoke out of it. And if obviously if we can blow up the machine, we can get out of the room finally.
Yeah.
But nothing is quite doing it. Nothing's quite getting us there.
There's stuff like Muhammad Ali invented rap.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
We're getting in there. Yeah, we've got sports opinions. It doesn't really seem to matter that much. It's all kind of stupid. But where we really – and obviously we said the movies. We said the sailing stuff.
Yeah.
We said the music stuff. But where we really started to break through was when we talked about why people voted how they did. And, like, we had figured it out. You know, us three, like, kind of just rich guys who talk a lot.
Yeah.
And
who write in an engaging way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fun to read.
Yes, who write in sort of a cool conversational style that's easy to digest.
Yeah.
And the only rule for the contest was if there is more than one piece of evidence to back up your opinion, it's disqualified. It has to be just the slimmest shred, and then you extrapolate that out and apply it to something that it couldn't possibly fit.
Okay. So what I heard about this opinion contest, the stuff that got out that was kind of persuasive about why people voted the way they did, is that we're going off some of the tropes of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, professional wrestling has broken out into society, and now we perceive everything because we're all, like, these huge wrestling fans, and now we perceive – the
Trump's the
sphere.
Ultimate heel, and we are raised to sort of root for these heels.
Yes, it's all kayfabe now.
Mm-hmm. And so to see him up there just throwing the rules out the window and openly insulting people with disabilities and stuff, that makes him such an appealing presence because he's the ultimate heel.
And
that's
Hogan,
how most people vote.
When Hogan joined the NWO was the most important political event of the last century.
That's totally true. And people forget about the Hardy Boys.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of was all of our opinion, and when we all agreed at the same time that everyone, we stopped sort of working against each other and all decided to say, in unison that everyone must have voted according to something I remember about when I watched wrestling from when I was like 11. And that's why the country's on the path it is. That is what actually blew up the machine, and I was able to get out and get to the studio on time to do this show. I'm getting tired. Got to kick butt driving in red car.
Showbiz.
Showbiz industry.
And welcome, John.
Hi.
And it's John Bass, and you were here with Alex Anfinger before, and you guys are mad at each other now, and we don't have to get into why you don't want to do the show together, but let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. He did some stuff that I didn't like.
Yes.
First of all, he went on a trip with my girlfriend without me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was weird. They kept on sending pictures saying,
Hey, was it an acid trip? Fucking drugs are so cool.
They're so cool.
But go ahead.
They're nice and they're cool.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah, but go ahead.
But it was like a food trip to Italy.
It was a food trip to Italy, and they...
And not as like a sexual thing, but like just as friends.
But poking me with it.
Yeah. Well, you know? And they only had the one scooter, and so it does look like they're having sex when they're really tight together on the scooter, sort of driving to the pizza class.
And he was like making a joke like, huh, well, I'm having sex with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
She doesn't love you anymore. And I'm like, oh, this is weird.
And he's got a dark sense of humor, and it's part of what attracted me to him initially.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But it does get too dark at times when he's saying, I'm having sex with your girlfriend. She doesn't love you anymore.
Yeah.
And with us, it's not even a love thing. It's just physical, but that's what helped her realize that she wasn't in love.
But the meanest aspect to me is when I think of John, I think, oh, like, what do I associate with John most? And it's gnocchi. It's like, you're like Mr. Gnocchi. And now these guys are going to like eat all this gnocchi. And
yeah, remember we used to call you Gnocco Ono?
Yeah, no, it was a good time. It was a really good time that one time. But Italy is like the place that I love to go in New
York.
You know, I love to like stop by Italy and I go to my gnocchi guy and I go, hey man, hook me up with some parm gnocchi and some, and he looks at me and he goes, doughy gnocchi.
Yeah.
And what is that?
Yeah.
Wait, what is that?
What do you mean?
Doughy. Because, you know, like it's doughy because my body's doughy. And then I'm also, I love when it's doughy gnocchi.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like a play, like a pun.
I remember one time we were like, we were going to Italy and we were like, I was buying like 15 different olive oils. And then I was like, do you want to get anything to eat?
It was too many.
And then I was like, do you want to eat anything? And you went, yeah, hey, boo boo. And I was like, oh, gnocchi bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we obviously don't have Alex, and we don't miss him.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Forget it. He did some pretty funny stuff last episode, I remember.
Yeah, he was really good.
No, he was good.
He was okay.
Yeah.
This one's going to be...
He was kind of like the main guy.
He was the main guy in that one.
Yeah, no, for sure. He was
for that one.
He was the main guy for that one. Not here anymore. Let's stop talking about him.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And he was very good.
He was good, yeah.
And he was so funny.
He was funny.
Yeah, he cracked me up. That was a fun episode.
Today, it's John.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of stuff that you want to talk about since we saw you last time. You've been doing all these big things. You did Baywatch, and you did the Baywatch blooper reel.
Yes.
And you did a promotional tour for the movie Baywatch.
Yes, and the Baywatch blooper reel.
Uh-huh, yes. And the blooper reel for Baywatch.
Yes.
Which is sort of what we want to talk about. Obviously, you've been getting asked about it a lot, and we have questions ourselves.
I know you have questions. You know, Sean and I ran into each other at the hotspot Sugarfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were both sugar fishing.
Yeah, it was right after we had finished shopping at Eataly, and it was time to sugarfish.
Yep. And we were just hanging out, and he looks at me, and he goes, what about that blooper reel? And I said, what are you talking about, Sean? What are you talking about? And he said,
you didn't know about that.
Well, I didn't know that there was
they're putting these in the movie?
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. And so when he said, let's get together, let's talk about the blooper reel, and let's get into the deep dive, I was like, let's do it. Because there are some things that I need to talk about.
I said,
about.
Come on my show, you know, defend yourself.
Yeah, talk about some of these bloopers.
Yeah, because some of these bloopers seem like mistakes.
Do you want to get into it?
Codeman?
Yeah, let's play it.
Codeman, can I get the sound cord? Ready? All right, here.
Wait, what were you going to do? What was the ready about? Because I'm just worried that it's going to happen later. Wait, yeah. What was that?
This is...
I know that wasn't about the sound
anticlimactic
cable.
Yeah. It
was, am I right that when he was like ready, like he was about to do a big thing?
He was about to do it.
I'm worried that as soon as the sound cable is over, he is going to do it. So what was that thing?
Hold on, let me just get this thing here.
Yeah.
It's a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. It's another thing in here. Hold on.
Okay.
It's all tangled up. I feel like I'm playing a Nintendo here.
A bunch of wet tissues out of his pockets.
Man, this is...
It's not in your pockets.
This is really... Oh, here you go.
He's got like...
God, Alex was really good in that episode.
So funny.
Yeah, we didn't have this kind of dead air in that one. So then, yeah, go ahead and plug that into the sort of headphone portion.
I don't have a headphone thing. It's a...
Oh, right.
It's an iPhone 7.
It's the new one. Okay.
It's an iPhone 7.
Well, we can just hold it up to the mic.
Okay.
Should I just hold it up to the mic?
No. Let me find. I got one. Where is that?
Okay. And he's got so many different...
A lot of pills.
Kinds of...
You'd think that...
Yeah, none of them have labels, and they're all huge.
It was a bit. This is not a bit. This is just poor management.
A bunch of pills in an aluminum can.
Look at all the different kinds of gum he has.
The pills are mixed in with the gum in what seems like a kind of pain.
He chews up the pill instead of the gum. And look at that. He's got Hubba Bubba, Bubble Yum, Bubblicious, Big League Chew, Bubble Tape.
Yeah, all Eclipse, the sugary kind.
Yeah, all the Orbit. Sugary, all the children kind. It's weird. It's a weird assortment. It's a children.
Except Eclipse is for adults only.
Dentine Ice.
It would be weird
Dentine
to be with
Fire.
A kid
Look
and
at
just
that.
He's a kid, just kid pulling out Eclipse.
A big
be a
pack
weird
of
move.
Eclipse gum. Over like kindergartner. Is just popping out an Eclipse. No.
Bazooka
that's for
Joe.
That's for adults. Oh my God, I almost
Double
deleted
bubble.
It.
I don't have one.
Okay, so Cody went outside to look for something, and then he said, I don't have one.
Mm.
And we don't know what it's a one of what. We don't know.
All right, are we ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Y'all ready for this?
Wow.
So this is the blooper reel. Can you set the scene? Stop.
Wait, hold on.
Stop.
Okay.
Undo
stop.
Sound.
All right. So let me set up this scene for you guys. This is blooper
reel. And in the
reel.
Context of the movie would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
so
who's this character?
This is Ronnie Greenbaum, a Jew.
At the beach?
At the beach. A Jew at the beach.
Okay.
And
is that allowed?
He's looking to get some, you know? Like you can tell he's got a rock hard boner that just is getting stuck in everything. And pretty much what happens is this super hottie CJ you know, comes up to him.
What are some of the things we're getting stuck in?
He gets stuck in a beach chair.
Beach chair, yeah.
There's some edit. There were some things that were cut out. He gets it stuck just in a seagull. He gets it stuck in the water.
In a whale's blowhole.
Yeah, in a whale's blowhole. He gets it stuck in the engine of a jet ski. He gets it stuck in a cup, in a water cup, and in a drink cup.
I was going to say, if he's at the beach, you know, it's got to get stuck in a cup at some point.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it stuck in a pie, a la American Pie.
Huh.
He gets it stuck in his mom.
He gets stuck in an umbrella.
He gets stuck in an umbrella.
But go back, his mom.
Yep.
Yeah. And then he gets it stuck in a condom at one
And his
point.
Mom's hair, I should clarify.
Yeah, it was his mom's hair. Yeah. And then that was... This is pretty much all the things he gets. It's stuck.
I think
stuck.
Chinese finger trap.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, yes. Chinese finger trap.
Yeah. With his finger on the other side. And he's like, how do I get out of this? It's a 5-minute scene. The good thing is that the director really let us
just
go.
Roll.
Like he would go, let's just roll it. And this one's for you.
Yeah.
And whatever it was stuck in at that time, I'd really take the moment to be like, what am I stuck in? How do I really tray this proofly.
Mm-hmm. And what's my truth in terms of having it stuck in a Chinese finger trap? And what? And how do I feel about China?
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
You know, and why did they make these nefarious traps?
How did they?
Well, yeah, how did they and why did they?
Mm-hmm. Like, it's still there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, we could definitely see that.
Yeah. Okay. I almost feel like I'm watching part of the movie.
I don't know if you thought that it was like
that, like, that I
that you were covering it up pretty well, but well, no, like we you know, it, you can tell that it is still happening.
That's cool.
So, so talk about so this Jewish character with his wiener stuck in everything is on the beach and he's hanging out with CJ, who is attractive, and she's played by K-Roar,
my girl K-Roar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Kelly Rohrbach, swimsuit model, fantastic actress, and just overall, like, I don't want to say best friend, but, like, we do hang out on the weekends.
And comedically, kind of raised the bar for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've done 1 through 4. You know what I mean? That's easy BTUC for 101 to 104. You know what I'm saying?
And like, Hayes is Second City training.
Yeah, Second City.
And I'm kind of just naturally funny.
You're just naturally, you got your stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But, like,
I went to Harvard. I mean, I did go to Harvard.
Okay. So, like, I got into it and I, like, did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But...
John.
Yep.
I don't.
Wow, I don't went somewhere.
I don't want to, like, say that she's the best that I've seen, but she is by far one of the greatest comedians of, I think, our generation. So,
and for you to even put me in your generation like that means so much to me.
You're welcome.
That's huge.
And so. Because you've worked with Alex, who, as we said, and not to bring him up again, but he was here last time, and he was really funny on this show. And you weren't necessarily able to keep up with some of his shit at that time.
And never would be.
Yeah. And then she's sort of making Alex look like some kind of...
garbage person.
Yes. Thank
some
you.
Sort of and terrible human being.
So you're
some
fucked. Kind of,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm like,
so you're mega fucked.
I know that I'm mega fucked. I'm looking
you're
at
about
him.
To be exposed.
I'm like mega phone fucked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's bad.
No, those are pretty wide.
So I you know, it's just getting to that place with like an actress of that caliber who just really loves the art of comedy and really throws herself into it. She wants to look stupid. And she's like, let me look bad in this scene. Don't put makeup on me. Don't make my tits look like they're about to pop
excuse
out of my
me.
Shirt.
Excuse me. Okay. So this is something that we need to learn from is like how we're referring, because we'll get to this stuff a little later. Well, you can say like booberinos or...
Well, tatas. Frontal torpedoes is sort of an accepted term on the show.
Frontal torpedoes?
Frontal torpedoes.
Yeah, frontal tostitos.
Oh, frontal tostitos. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like boobs.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sorry. I'm
tits.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't want to use boobs. I don't want to use tits.
That's kind of crass, man.
It is a crass, and it's disgusting. And it's
if you
wrong
think about it, like, you know, speaking as someone, I have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I really can understand
that
we – I know you guys maybe just think it's okay to treat women like shit.
Yeah.
And of course I did too, but I have a daughter.
Yeah.
And so now I am actually qualified, and that is a reason that I have found to not necessarily treat women like shit or talk about them like they are sort of just like animals or objects.
Yeah.
Because of my daughter.
Because of your daughter.
Prior to my daughter, there's a pretty extensive record of me doing that, which I – you know, won't apologize for, because at the time I did not have a daughter and I wasn't in the room with someone who did. But now I do. And so we're not going to say tits. We're going to say frontal torpedoes, frontal tostitos, frontal totinos, and maybe one other one.
Pringles.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I have 3 daughters and they're all packing as well, so...
Well, I forgot to mention. Yeah,
your
my daughter's a fucking stat.
Yeah,
yeah. No, they're
talk about the yaya sisterhood. That's my. Mm-hmm. Those are my.
I don't
children.
I honestly don't have any daughters, but I've
and that comes through.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty obvious with the way that you said the word tits.
And I do. I say the stuff that I shouldn't say, like boobs and tits, and that's like bad. That's like a bad thing, and mm-hmm. I need to treat them with more respect.
Do me a favor. Say, hey, I respect you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that would mean a lot to someone like my daughter who's got like – she's packing heat upstairs.
Yeah. I respect your booberinos would be really nice.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I'm not looking to be like an asshole, you know. I want to be the kind of guy who can look at a woman and say, those frontal torpedoes are getting me rock hard and I don't know what to do with this Chinese finger trap that's popping out, mm-hmm. you know. I want that to be something that I can say instead of just like.
What a nice goal to have in this culture where, let's face it, our president doesn't necessarily always have that much respect.
Yeah.
You know, and isn't setting a great example. Mm-hmm. And then for a guy like you.
And he has a daughter who is, look, I'll say it, she's stacked.
Oh, God.
So he has no excuse.
Yeah. No, she's, yeah. She got a slamming set of friggin' salmon upstairs. So
it's like, how do you not?
Yeah. No.
Are you able to talk like this?
You would think he would have learned by that. But it doesn't, you know.
It doesn't matter. Look, what matters is K-Roar. Mm-hmm.
She does have those frontal toninos.
You know?
Yeah, I guess.
But beyond that, she's just, you know, she's gone through the classes. She was on so many Herald teams. Before mm-hmm. she came, yeah. And
we don't have to list them all here, but we'll name a few.
Ruru. Yeah, we'll name a few.
Ruru.
Pop mm-hmm. and stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. $12,000.
Figure it
dirt,
out.
The syndicate.
Yeah.
Monkey dick. The fucking Kennedys. Tantrum. Bangs. Mm-hmm.
And of course, my background is Second City.
Uh-huh.
Where we don't do the Herald. We do the Harold Ramis went here. Is what we call that kind of sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think he might have.
Yeah.
And then
it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of guys from Harvard that did Second City stuff afterwards, it is really cool to see them sort of learn and figure it out and become, you know, little mini K-Roars.
I'm not trying to. You guys have been talking a lot about Second City and Harvard. Is there some sort of plug here, or is there some ulterior
motive? We are doing ads.
We do ads for Second City and for Harvard.
Oh, do you?
And we do ads for college, which Harvard is basically the main college.
Yeah. It's basically the main college. Mm-hmm. So you guys mm-hmm. are just sort of snapping it in there just when you can.
Yes, but also doing the ads on top of this.
On top
we
of
do
this.
All the yes. ads, but yeah. we talk about the ads we're going to do during the show portion that's not the ads.
Okay. So it's like a... It's like an ad portion of the show to get into the ads.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inception of ads.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, we talk about our own experience. If we happen to have had experience with some of the stuff that's in the ads, like, hey, it's a Second City training.
Yeah. You went to Harvard.
Me having been in Harvard at the school, you know, those kind of things are always fun to explore and talk about with friends like John Bass. Now, you did the Baywatch blooper reel.
Yep.
Yeah. So Kelly's schooling you. She's dunking on your ass and making you look like some kind of fucking chump.
She was lapping you. I was sort of noticing in a lot of these scenes.
It's beyond
racing out ahead, and you like lose sight of her, and then suddenly she's coming up behind you again.
Yeah. Well, it's just I want to say, because I do think it's important to say, like, I was working with the creme de la creme of the comedy world, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got DJ and Z, who are just fucking monsters when it comes to improv comedy. Like, you see them go at it. And I remember the days back at Second City and UCB where they would do their nighttime shows, you know, midnight, 1 a.m., just fucking getting into it.
Where they literally get so raw and so out there. And it's not even for the audience.
Yeah.
It's just like them exploring the kind of darkest crevices of their mind.
Yeah.
And DJ doing some of the stuff. And you see this in his Instagram stories where a lot of times there's fans that have been waiting outside set till 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he'll drive up, yes, to say hi to the fans, but he'll also fuck with them a little bit, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. Puppy. He'll go like, oh, yeah, just he's a little just bit of a fingering fuck. Yeah, yeah. No, he's just sort of squeezing it in there real quick, popping sort it back out.
Just tickling just, a little
yeah.
bit.
Oh, yeah, fucking tickling around it. The yeah. edge of it and just going like, okay, yeah, these guys are out here. I'm going to fuck with them for a second. And then he'll swing by and just be like, hey, guys. Peace, see you later. And then they think he's driving away, and then he'll drive back and he'll yeah. sign an autograph or yeah. something.
So it was really fun. And him getting to fuck with me was the best. Like the things that he did to me.
Yes, I think his sense of humor, you're sort of a ripe target for it.
Yeah, the things that he did to me were not right.
Yeah, and his comedy's so wrong, you know, and yeah. so raunchy.
No. The yeah. things that he did to me, they were not right.
And Cody, you say, oh, hell no.
I have absolutely no fucking idea what any of you guys are talking about.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so I like that. Good. So, yeah, that's sick. And then Z-Man, obviously, is also cracking your whole shit up.
He's cracking my whole yeah. shit up. Yeah. He's making the moves, and I'm just trying to you know, copycat.
Tough for you, someone who's coming from sort of the British method approach of having studied the script for weeks, yep. just sort of gone into your little hole and sort of planned out all of your facial moves and
I'm just so like glad.
Your whole physicality.
Yeah.
And then these guys come in and it's basically, I thought we had a script we were working with here. I like
you what, know, me and Dame Judy and Ian are just sort of like trying to do our thing, Mikkelen. Yeah. And we're, you know, we spend these months and years trying to, like, get into the craft. I was trying to be the best fucking piece of shit Jew that I could who gets his dick stuck and stuff. You know? That's, like, what I was preparing for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then getting into this moment where I'm like, okay, now I finally get to play this fucking idiot Jew.
Who doesn't belong on the beach and who... it's sort of like in a humorous way, can't do jack shit. And there's all these sort of like beautiful, like,
yeah.
You know, Gentile beautiful. Achievers.
Like you look at them and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, this is what people are supposed to look like. Aryan mm-hmm. Nation maybe is a thing that we should have really considered because then I show up and you're like.
Well, you get where the idea yeah. came yeah. from. Yeah. Yeah, so it's so that's sick.
So it was sick, and it was cool.
Did you and Ian and Dame Judy ever just go around where, like, you guys are workshopping together where he's Magneto and she's
the queen.
She's the queen, and you are Ronnie Birnbaum and, like, what
Greenbaum.
Okay, sorry.
I think.
And well, what those characters are.
And that's
are.
A little on you if we don't know that, you know, because we knew Magneto's name.
Yeah.
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 What those Eric. Characters are like together.
Together?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you need to go around town. You need to try it out. I'm a huge proponent of, you know, getting deep into it, getting deep yeah. into the character.
I imagine Magneto could help you get a staple out of your dick, for example.
Well, because he has the technology to do that.
Oh, it's that's not interesting. Technology, okay.
Man. Yeah. It's a power.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing because all those guys do know each other. Like Eric is friends with Xavier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point they go, hey, sometimes you got to call me Magneto. Like, but he had magnet powers when he met him.
It's when I have
But there
my...
is a conversation at some point where it's like, sometimes you have to call me Magneto. Yeah. And like, and then, or Logan
yeah.
as well, you know, and it's like, hey, I kind of have these storm powers. So like once in a while... call me Storm. But you met me and I had a normal name. Like that's yeah. a strange transition to make with a friend, I
yeah.
think.
It must be an insane transition to mm-hmm. sort of just like
and
put
then
that
to pick
someone.
Which one am I gonna use,
yeah.
you know, at any given point. But that's a rabbit hole.
It's a rabbit hole we don't need to go into right now. The important thing is me, Ian, and Dame are just really, you know, dealing with our characters. We don't need to go down that either.
But for this crew that's sort of making Ian and Dame look like idiots
yeah.
because they have to use the script. DJ Z-Man and K-Roar were in there and were saying, hey, the script, that was just a jumping off point. Mm-hmm. That was a suggestion of something we might do. And by the way, we won't. And you're left kind of eating dust.
Yeah, because I'm Shakespeare guy, you know? I'm doing the real stuff. So it was like I was eating dust.
Mr. Homework.
I'm so glad that I was able to come onto Hollywood Handbook and just destroy my career. Just truly, like, take some moments.
Sort of
like,
the one really huge.
Something of a Falstaffian move.
Oh, they just don't make a lot of movies anymore.
I'm wondering if
you got to be in a huge one.
I know. They really gave me a shot, and I decided to come onto Hollywood Handbook and disparage everyone a part of it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, no! It's truly, truly fantastic. It's too soon. Mm. Is it too soon? What do you guys think?
What are we going to do when people have, like, stopped talking about the movie? No, we have to do it now. When people are still having conversations about Baywatch.
You know,
and the
on their planes reel. And being like, do you want to watch Baywatch? Do you want to watch Baywatch? We can watch it. No? I'm going to watch.
Jack Reacher 2.
Yeah, Jack Reacher 2 seems good. Never go back. I think I will this time. What's that other one? The weird one. Anyway, you know.
The Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water.
Okay, no, but that hasn't come out
yet. That hasn't come out yet. It will. I'll watch it on a plane. No, but yeah, it's fresh. People are ready to get into it. Yeah. So
we've sort of got an idea of the context and what's happening on the set. So now we've got these blooper things that have happened. Let's face it, you're involved in some of them. And bloopers are errors. People laugh at these things, but you forget is this is a mistake that happened.
This was wrong. This was a wrongness.
It's a teaching tool.
Yes.
Okay? Don't do this.
Yes.
And I think we've got an example of one that you were in that maybe we can discuss.
All right. You guys ready for this?
No. Mm-hmm. You have to set the scene.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm ready for you to set the scene. Yeah.
So this is the end of the movie. Me and K-Roar have finally gotten together. It's the thing that everyone's been waiting for. They wanted to see this fat, tubby Jew finally get with this super hot Aryan chick. It's what people came to see the movie for. And so finally, I get it. I get this chick. Mm-hmm. And she's like into it. But she's also, you know, she's also like, I just slept with a Jew.
She still kind of thinks your body's a joke.
Yeah, she definitely thinks my body's a joke. Mm-hmm. So does everyone on set, and so do I, right? We're all very much in on the joke that I got a tubby little piece of shit body. Let's slap it around, right?
Yes. It's a good idea for a scene.
Take that muffin top and just really jiggle it around for us, fat boy. You know? Mm-hmm. That's what they said to me. That was the direction they gave me.
Oh,
so,
is Derek Jeter in your eye line as you're doing these scenes?
Is he in my island watching me from
from Village?
Because weren't they, like, they were at the time.
I think they dated for a bit.
Boyfriends, girlfriends.
Derek was there. Yeah. Derek was there.
And he's threatening to throw a baseball at you?
He was throwing baseballs at me. He was pelting them at my body. Mm-hmm. He was in on the joke, too. We were all in on the joke.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of on the same page about what the joke is.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, should I make a bullseye on his belly? And then just, like, pelt him. And I was like, Derek, you're so funny. Let's do it.
And I wish it is such a night. Like, I dream of the day when there could be a movie about my bad body. Just, like, the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it's about how my body's not very good.
Yeah. It's about how your body's not very good and how you should – and if you can be surrounded by as many people with good bodies.
Yes.
And those people keep on going, what's with this guy and his bad body?
Yeah. Or there's sort of a funny element where one of them is okay with your body for a minute.
Just for a minute.
And though. Then and that kind of lets the whole audience go like, oh, imagine.
So the scene is you and CJ got together.
We got together. It's the end of the movie. We just fucked. And we're waking up in the morning and talking about our bodies.
Okay,
right?
Great. Because
that's what you do the first thing you wake up when you're with the lady that you just slept with. You talk about each other's bodies.
Well, hang on. She's talking about your body, and now let's play the clip, and we'll see maybe what went wrong.
Oh. I like your chest as well.
It doesn't work when you say it back to me like that. Hey, CJ.
Okay, so I'll just give you guys the what's going on. So she's stroking
Sounds better,
him.
By the way, Cody, than when you are actually like trying to get it to sound good. That was better.
Oh, thanks.
She's stroking him and slaps his chest and it's sort of sensual. And then John says, and I don't know what the fuck he was thinking, but he says, I like your chest as well to this woman. And then she says, it doesn't work when you say it to me. And he goes, okay.
And that's Kelly saying that. That's not CJ.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know what? When you're so in character, it sort of gets mixed up and
sure.
like who you are. But I am, you know, I'm here to apologize.
Yeah.
Can I ask what you were responding to? Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what could make you think that was something that was okay to say in that movie? So had she said something that...
She, you know, it was just sort of
you
like...
You said, I like your chest as well. Like, what is that coming off of?
You know, it's coming off of her frontal torpedoes. Her,
but she's
her
stroking tostitos. His chest, Hayes.
Okay.
She's sort of doing, caressing his chest. Like, this is something she enjoys. Like, I like your chest, John, is what she's saying through body language. That's she doesn't okay. have she doesn't have to use the words.
Yeah,
he
right.
is not necessarily skilled enough to
I just
sell
wanna,
that
and
idea
you thought that
without
would be,
the sound.
And you thought that was like you being cool or something?
It was being cool. It was being like, yeah. it was being like sassy, you know? Okay. It was like a comment to be like, you know what? Also, you have a nice one too.
My
know.
Daughter's going to listen to this, so just tread lightly.
Yeah, as you.
Sorry,
but she, you know, she's standing there. You said I like your chest as well, and that took me out of the movie. And I thought, is anybody going to call this asshole out? Of course, he likes it. And then Kelly, you know, once again playing the hero, swoops into the scene. You know, taps out CJ and goes like, take a break for a minute. I got this. And goes, hey, John, it doesn't work when you say it to me. Everyone likes my chest. The joke is I'm saying I like your chest, which no one would. And the only thing you do that's right on this is you sort of hang your head, look sad, and you go, okay.
Yeah. I want to make sure that everyone knows if you want to, you know, if you want to see this, which you should, go onto iTunes, buy the movie for $14.99. Okay? Don't watch the movie. Go to the end, 150, 120, and then press play. You will see this scene. You will
the
see.
The blooper reel is at 1 hour and 20 minutes.
1 hour and 50 minutes oh. and 21 seconds.
Oh, okay. Mm.
It is a 1 hour and 50 minute movie. There was enough material
because they just let
to
you
get
go
to 2 hours because yeah. they just let me go. Woo! So yes,
so let's play it again.
You want to play it again?
Yes. Now that okay. we really that we have really a sense of it,
happening.
And now you know what you're hearing,
and you'll hear the chest.
You'll
slap
hear the chest
the
slap.
Beginning.
Yeah,
you'll hear me go ha, and then yeah, just listen to this dialogue. You got to really pay attention though. Okay.
Nice of her to laugh and try and break the tension because mm-hmm. she is mad and she's right to be mad.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was you saying...
Were all your daughters at the movie when you saw it?
Yeah.
All your daughters were there and yep. you like saw that part and yeah. you all said...
I froze for a second and thought, oh no, like I'm going to have this serious talk with my daughters mm-hmm. about how inappropriate this choice was that he made. And then Kelly actually, ever the teacher... was able to save me from the awkwardness of explaining, of course he likes her chest. And it is nice that she laughs. And I think it's somewhat genuine because it is funny that John thought that he could say that.
Yeah.
It is
Thank
funny
you.
When you step back. It's not, it wouldn't be funny to do it in the movie, but the idea of someone thinking it was okay to do that when they're improvising is funny.
Because I should have known that everyone would have thought that Kelly's chest is a good thing. It's a nice thing to look to
and
look
see, I
at.
Can feel you getting into
and it's
this.
Careful, sorry. careful.
Sorry.
So I wonder if it was like a, kind of at the end of production, and you're hanging out with all these people that have these like improv chops, and you are sort of thinking, "Oh, I can do this as well. I can maybe keep up with these guys now. I'm going to show them that I'm kind of one of them." And maybe you were forgetting how bad your body is in that moment, and thinking that you could. You know, say something like
it was
if you had a good body and that you could do comedy.
It was a moment of, you know, it was just a mistake. It was a mistake.
And I just remember going ghost white during the first half of this blooper and thinking, why the fuck did they put this in the fucking movie? Like, yeah. They had a lot
because
of
it
footage.
Because it's a genuinely very tense moment.
Yes. And then going like, oh, to show us how a true pro handles when somebody just takes a shit in the middle of your scene.
And I'm taking a huge dump in that scene.
Yeah. And she politely cleans it up and rubs your nose in it for a second to go like, hey, not again.
Yeah.
Whew, man.
I'm sorry. I want to apologize to the Hollywood community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to apologize to you two. Mm-hmm. And I want to apologize to my dead career.
And to my daughter.
And to your daughters. Yes. To your frontal torpedo daughters. It was a mistake that I made. And
maybe you're going to stay away from the beach for a little while, huh?
I think so.
Does it make you sad to go to the beach now?
A little.
It's a little. It's not a place you could enjoy exactly the way that you could before.
It's
weird
tainted.
Associations.
Yeah. Well.
You know, and I got to say, John, I can see that you feel a little uneasy about some of what we're saying here.
No, I think it's cool.
Okay.
I think it's nice and cool.
Just checking.
Yeah. No, I think that's really nice. That's... And cool.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been an Earwolf production. Executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.